Okay, this recorder's on. And this recorder's on. There you go.
Great.
Okay.
Wait.
And this recorder's on. Okay, good.
We got three times.
So, okay. So we were up to Gimel and Beis. So we spent a lot of time this long ago at it. Then the Gemara immediately goes into what Rav Moshe Ibn Tibbon, who we're going to study today, calls one of the weirdest Agadotot in all of Shas. Gemara in Avodah Zarah would be helpful. Yes. What? Gemara? No, it's not on there now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So the so if you remember the end of the last Agadotot, in the middle of, we have God laughing at the nations of the world after the sukkah debacle, right? That they walk out on the hot day and they kick the sukkah. That was weird enough. But then the Gemara says, okay. God only laughs on that day. So then the Gemara gives another possibility of when of how we got to this point. But once the Gemara is talking about this, if you skip down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the wide lines, right? The last of the short wide lines before, like in the short lines, before the wide lines start. On Gimel Amud Beis. Gimel Amud Beis. Where are you?
Gimel Amud Beis.
What? Before the wide lines. Before.
Before.
Right? So again, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shchok Elabos Vayom Bilfad, God only laughs in that time. So then the Gemara launches into, Amy, is it true that God only laughs in the time of, in this eschatological period? But don't we know that there are 12 hours in the day? During the first 3 hours of the day, so God sits and learns Torah. The next 3 hours, God judges the world. Since when he realizes the world deserves to be destroyed, Omeid Mikisei Hadin, V'Yoshev El Kisei Rachamim, he gets off his throne of justice and gets onto his throne of mercy.
What does this mean? Oh my God.
1 second.
Whoa.
Shlishios, then the third 3 hour period of the day, Yoshev Izanis Kol Olam Kulo, he supports the whole world, Mikarne Ra'imim Ad Beitze Kinim, from the horns of these huge, mythic creatures to the smallest eggs of lice. Revios Yoshev Masachek in Liv Yasan. And the fourth set of 3 hours, right, from let's assume a 6 to 6 day, so from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, God plays with the Leviathan. Shenemar Liv Yasan Zayatzar Telasachik Bo. And Amar of Nachum Yitzchak Shlimar says, don't worry, in Briosav Mitzachek, God always plays with his creatures. But only at the end of days does he make fun of his creatures. Right? He laughs with his creatures for all of history, every day for 3 hours. But he laughs at his creatures only once, only at the end of history. Yeah. So,
let's talk.
Good. So, what does this mean? So I sat down in this Gemara and I said, I don't know what this means. Somebody has to help me. So I emailed around, to some experts in Agadata. Do you have any satisfying explanation? No. So I kept Googling until I found a reference in a book, right, that there are 7 pages on it in the Sefer of Moshe Ibn Tibbon.
Is an art school doesn't have a chat on this?
You can go look. I didn't even look. I should have looked. Taka.
Actually, no.
But Rav Moshe Ibn Tibbon has a shot on this. So we're going to start with him, and then I gave him my rals. So Rav Moshe Ibn Tibbon. Who's Rav Moshe Ibn Tibbon? So he's the son of Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon. Who's Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon? The great translator of the Rambam. So this is someone who's heavily in the rationalist camp. Right? Now he writes a perish on how to learn Agadah, and then he gives you examples. And his first example is our Gemara. Right? So that's what I gave you. I couldn't find the book for the life of me, because it's not in Hebrew books, it's not in Bar Ilan, it's not in Osar HaChachma, it's nowhere. So then I did what I normally do when I have to give up, and I posted on Facebook, and I said, does anyone have this book and can scan it and send it to me? And Baruch Hashem, Gershon Clapper, said, I have it, and he sent me pictures of it. And that's what you have here, right? The scan, whatever. He scanned it, and I just copied it onto the page.
Came out pretty good.
Came out not bad. But this is it, okay? So first, we get his introduction, okay, to Agadata in general. So he says, Anire, ki hagadon nichtavu b'talmud al midim harbe. There are many types of agadatam. Mehem shehim sipurim levad. Some are just stories. Kipshatam, that they're just stories. That they're right. They're all, you know, obvious. They're simple explanation. L'aniach levavod l'argiyam l'shkitam kasher tarchu biyun dak mashchava muka. To calm people down. To give them a little bit of relaxation after they've spent a lot of time learning iyun, right? You know? It's a little, you know. No, go off topic, right? You know, it's like when the rabbis were weak from learning, so they told jokes. Sometimes they didn't tell jokes. Sometimes they learned agadata. So that's one level. Sometimes there's drasha to psukim, right? Pasuk, many different explanations. That's also agadata. One is to explain. Simply one hides explanations, fine. Umehem shenemru l'chazek emuna. O listor v'lamo keneged sipur achad emuna kozevet. And sometimes Chazal's agadatas are teaching us, strengthening a certain belief, or contradicting or disproving a false belief. Or either a new false belief or one that people have only recently started getting into. V'echziku b'anji erachaz v'medina. It's like illness, physical illness, right? Different. What?
It's not what he's.
No. I'm trying to read this, like physically read this picture here, right? And he says, right, bad beliefs are like disease, right? There are epidemics of bad diseases in different places, right? And he says the same thing is true of bad emunas, right? Different places have different bad emunas in the world. Okay. And sometimes you got to heat things up, right? If people are cold, sometimes you got to cool them down if they have a fever. Sometimes, right, they're dehydrating. You got them moisture. Sometimes, right, they have too much liquids. You got to, right, you got to remove liquid, whatever. So a God would have their purpose. Right? And therefore, they're used for whatever purpose. Well, and then he adds something important. He says, that's why don't try with contradictions. Right? Don't tell me the contradiction between agadatas. Agadatas, we're solving a local problem sometimes. And therefore, they could contradict. Because one person wrote an agadata where there was one type of problem, so he over-exaggerated the opposite. In another place, the opposite problem, so he exaggerated. Right? Meaning, he was being machazik things. So you do what you need to do. You say what you need to say. Okay. Well, he says, Mosaf al Tamim she Zachara Rabbi Matzebaim Darko. And he says, right, this is beyond what the Rambam says, right? There are different levels. Echad mehem nemru pshuto, or maybe Avraham and Rambam. He said, some have a pshat, ein toch, with nothing beyond that. Echad yeshlo niglev itoch, some have two levels to them, a mechuvan botocho, leshneim yeshlem shnei panim, galuv in istar, and istar shneim hu mechuvan, echad lakach mashal, and echad lakach lakach sotro, etc. And then he says, second paragraph here, he said, so he said, why did Chazal bother putting most of what they said in story form? So he says, here, pass these down to them.
I got it.
Yeah, it's 2 pages each. There you go. He said, they're just following what the Nevi'im did. And the Nevi'im spoke in Mishalim. And he says, there's two reasons. One is the Nevi'im did it, but that only pushes the question back. Why did the Nevi'im do it? Because he said, if things sound outlandish, that tips you off that there's an idea behind it. Right? The more wild something is, the more obvious it is that it must not mean what it says. Right? Now this is like the opposite of the way some people approach agadata, right? He's saying, no, it must be. Remember, that's the Rambam's rant, right? So he's obviously very much in that school. And he says, if you put in effort, you'll find it.
So he says,
Said, and besides, right, in addition, right, wise people will realize that there's something deep there. What about people who are nished, so wise, right? So he says, you know, if you just tell them, you give a philosophy lecture to most people, it doesn't inspire them. So, okay, for the people who are stupid, so we'll tell it in a nice exaggerated story, and it'll be mechazik them as necessary. Right? So he says, Chazal said it in stories. It's not exactly a positive view of most of the world, but fine. Right? He says, right, so for smart people, we'll make it outlandish so that they realize the truth. And for other people, you know, they'll be impressed by the magnitude of the Agarata. Okay, and they'll be impressed by God. Wonderful. That's his Hakdama. Then if you go next, so he says, right, he quotes this Gemara, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, I cut off the first line, which I wanted to, but the first line is that this is like the weirdest Gemara ever. Right, that's his first comment is, this is just bizarre. Right, what does this mean? God, 12 hours a day, 3 hours learning, 3 hours judging, 3 hours judging nicely, right? Then he plays with the Leviathan for 3 hours.
What's a Leviathan?
Big fish, right? Sure. Big fish. Okay, where's AB? AB can explain it to us, right? That was part of his shiur when I was here for Shabbos, right?
Yeah,
okay. Great. So he said, I don't get what's going on. Right? Oh, no, I did put it here. So look, after he quotes the Gemara, he says 5 lines into the right, 5 lines in here. He says, okay, Hama Mara says Zar Meod. This is just strange. Right? Just weird. I agree with him. V'chalila lachshov birov shenamin b'shem chalukat hashgacha masim elu b'zmanim elu. He said, what's weird about it? Right? He said, God forbid that we should believe what? That God's hashgacha is different between 6 and 9, and then again between 9 and 12, and then from 12 to 3, and then from 3 to 6. Right? Not happening. Ki osa kol tamid uvelizman. Right? God does all at all times. Right? Right? God doesn't say, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? End of morning Seder. It's time now to end of break. Now it's time to play, right, with full force with the Leviathan. Right? Mazeh. So he said, then what must it mean? He said, all things are comprised of 4 yesodot. Right? This is right. Greek, right? That there were 4 elements to the world. What are the 4 elements the world are made of?
Water, earth, fire, air.
Thank you.
That's it.
No, it's water, earth, fire, and wind. Okay? The kol shekain hatzmachim v'alechayim prada adam. He said that's true of all existence.
Oh,
but he says the same thing is true of time. Now you can leave the Greek part here aside. Okay, yesh lemitziuto arba zmanim. There are 4 times in life. Now some of it's a bit cut off, but he said okay. Harishon hazman sholeich v'godel bo shir v'shir komato v'uzman abacharut. Period 1 is childhood. When you grow, right? When you're growing, right? Bacharut. Then he slips for some reason to a shlishi, but we'll come back. He'll get to all of them. Hashlishi sholech v'chaser v'imach v'etech gufo. Right? The third stage of life is where you start to weaken. K'mo sholech v'gadal b'rvi arishon. Lo shalich odav v'lotav. V'zen zman blah, blah, blah. Right? Right? So part of life is where everything starts going downhill. Right? Right? Then he says, "Hasibaba says he moved to Nagagalim Kochavim. Should never shout about Kodesh Baruch Hu." The reason for this, so then he says, because the stars, who knows, because of God. He says, "Atana zeim shil seder pulot hamitavot bezman mitziuto seder pulot apuel bezman echad miuchad meazman shusibag dolav chazagal lehafilut hamitave ki apuel vapilot min hamitzarfim lakach or hayom l'mashal mitavim ve'efseidam." He said, here's what I think the vort is. God wanted to describe human life and the effect of hashkacha on life. So how did he do it? He talked about human life as if it was a day. And in order to emphasize that God is with you and God's hashkacha is working at every stage of life, he described God's activity in a day. Why a day? Because a day is more constant or more consistent. And the message is that There are four stages in the human life, and God's hashgacha is with you at each point. But just like, you know, every day, like God is with you at all times, right? So it is a mashal for human life reflected through God, because since everything we do is from God, right? It's as if anything we do is because of God's activity, kivyachal. Right? So this is an extended mashal about human life, and it's teaching you that hashgacha is with you at each of the four stages of life. Right? That's how we understand this. So he says...
At all times.
At all times.
Right?
So now you go to the second paragraph on this, you know, second sort of unit. Just right, keep going down. He says, Hashalosh shod rishonot. M'nei sheim lachut v'chamot b'teva ha'aviv. Shuzmane yoter tov v'nei ot l'tzmichat kol tzomech et chil bohem. Said he started off the day with Torah. Why? Because he already said the beginning of the day is when you're growing, right? Childhood, right? Until maturity. Said that part of the day, the beginning of the day, the spring of your life, or the beginning of your life, that is God's Torah time. Why?
He can ignore you, basically.
No, not at all. No, the opposite.
He's with you.
He says, because what's Torah? Uh-huh. What is Torah in this world?
Bringing
it's the most direct manifestation of God's will. Mm-hmm. Because the beginning of life is when God's hashgacha is most extreme. He creates you, right? He develops you, right? And the Torah, right, this is a bit more mystical, but the Torah for him is, right, is the blueprint, so to speak, of the world. So the beginning of life is when God is involved in Torah. Right? That's when God is most viscerally, most obviously involved in human beings.
That's the first 3 hours.
That's when he brings things to existence. Right? People, the world, right? Meaning the beginning of the day, so to speak, the beginning of history or the beginning of human life. Right? For him they're all true. That's the purest, most obvious involvement of God. That's where hashgacha is obvious, right? There's that moment, right? You talk sometimes to like people who are. I have a cousin who's an OB. Right? She always says, right? She doesn't understand how people can deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they see a baby born, right? There's like God is evident in the room, right? There's something to that, right? That the miracle of life itself, right? That's the first 3 hours. It's Torah, right? It's God's blueprint for the world. And then he says, "Uvishalosh." Next paragraph. For shalosh, Yosheva dan kolam kulo, uman mid kol yitzarav v'mishpat alam dam bizman. The second 3 hours, it says that God judges the world. Ahu yachlif b'mazon shir u'mashi teimi menu v'adin v'mishpat u'midav v'kiyum melch mishpat yamid aretz mishpat lelokimu kach nekru Elohim ashoftim ve'el hu chazak v'takif. And he says the beginning of the middle of the world is, what's the next 3 hours, which is now the next stage of life? What does it mean that God judges? What does it mean God judges?
Tough life at that point.
I mean, he gives you life. He doesn't give you life itself. He gives you. Are you going to get food? You're not going to get food. Are you going to get parnasa? You're not going to get parnasa. He said that makes sense. After the miracle of birth and childhood, at some point you hit the non-miraculous part of your life, right? Where... Right, as the Midrash says in Midrash Kohelet, right. Once you're 30, you're like a dog. All you want to do is make money, right? Feed your family, right? That's your focus, right? It's just the day in, day out. And God's hashgacha of the world is judgment. Am I going to give you what you need? Am I not going to give you what I need? Right? Very practical. It's less, you know, inspiring, right? Dr. Pelkovitz always used to tell us in Smicha. He's like, right? People's marital happiness, right? On average, goes like this: first 5 years. Next 15, and then after that, right? That middle 15 years in general, people are the least happy in their life. Because that's when you're having your kids, you're raising your kids, you're in the brunt of your job, you're exhausted, right? If you survive that, then happiness rises above what it did. But life is basically good until you're like 30, and then again when you're like 45, right? Like, between then, he's like, so if you feel that way, he's like, you're not alone. What?
How's life right now?
It sucks.
Great. It's great. It's great. I'm 30.
You're still within the first 5 years.
I'm 30. No, I've been married 7 years.
Oh, great.
But statistically speaking, I should be crashing, right? But temporarily, just while life is hard, right? Look, anything worth doing in life is worth putting in the effort. That's the point, right? That's the hardest part of life. So that's when God is judging, right? B'kisei ha-din, right? That's when things are hard, right? And then he says, what's the problem? Next paragraph. It's a very brilliant read. He says, what happens after that? Well, let's say 0 to 30 and then 30 to 60. Fine, let's say to 60. Acher zman hasheni matchil gufo la'ameis latich. What happens after that point? The body starts to fall apart, right? You know, no, sometime in that next 30 years, right? Between 30 and 60 at some point.
You're going down.
Right? Right? It's like, you know, like, look, I don't have glasses now. Presumably in the next 30 years, I will have to get glasses, right? Presumably, right? Like, my father didn't have glasses. I was in his mid-40s. At some point, right, your eyes just start to weaken, right? Even if you have good vision and good genes, right? He says, "Elochino made mikizei adin, Yoshev mikizei rachamim, b'tchilat hazman ha'shlishi. Ki yod tzarech l'rachme Hashem yitbarach, l'azin mirevach elokim v'nishmato l'amid l'kayim kachodav v'chazkatam." He said, look, between, let's say, 30 and 50, right, the fact that, or even 60, the fact that you can work and support your family, that's teva, right? That's teva. God's there, but bedin, right? You don't need especially rachamim. What happens if someone gets laid off when he's 60? And now he needs to find a job. Right now, already, if God is going to support him, it's out of his God's rachamim. Because realistically, he's not as good of a, you know, he doesn't have the koach to be as good. He's not as up on the newest technology as the young whippersnappers, right? Whatever they're going to say, right? There's age discrimination in the workforce for a reason, right? I mean, it's bad, but it's a reality, right? So he says in the third stage of life, right, as life goes towards, right, past noon, past the noon of your life, right, God still takes care of you, but it's a bit rachamim, right? He's got to be mechazek you. Right, and I'm skipping around here. He said, as things go on, you'll hear people, he needs refuah shleima, he needs help from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, I mean, the older you get, right, the harder things are, right? You're not in the prime of your life. It's you know, it's funny, even you see, right, even with, I remember one of my Rebbeim, it's like, and he told me, like, you see the difference between the kids you have in your 20s and 30s and, like, your last kids in your 40s, right? For me, okay, I can run around after my kids, right? Right, in 15 years, right? You know, if I have a kid when I'm 40 and then I have a 5-year-old, not when I'm 30, but when I'm 45, right? You know, it'll be a little bit harder, right? Or 50, right? You know, you have kids later, right? It's, you don't have the same koach. So he says, and then, what's the fourth? Va'omru, now next paragraph, revios Yoshev u'misachek im levyasan. God, by the fourth part, right, from 3 to 6, right, towards twilight, right, as the sun is setting, right, then he plays with the Leviathan. What? So what did he say? He said, "Klomar Yoser Chazak Gadol Shebechol Abriot Kemo B'Sipurei Tarei Skulot Chazgog Brato." Why? As Chaim says, "Achir Shikra Chalash Gufo V'Chaser V'Dbara Yerida V'Achisaro." And he said, by that point, the end of the twilight, mamish, the end of your life. That's when people start to lose their minds. They start to lose their health. Right? Everything is just falling apart. Right? Exactly. So Nitzchia Kayam Yitzchak V'Yaleg Lamo Gam Levadenu Ketam Kiyunat Ki. So he says at that point, right, the Leviathan is one of two things. Either it's the mythical creature of destruction, right? So he's saying, you know, by that point God is playing with the end, right? Or he says, what is it? It's the Yitzhahara is already gone. Right? Your body's falling apart, but also, right, if you've made it to that point without, you know, succumbing to sexual temptation, right, by the time you're 75, you're probably safe. Right? So at that point, right, he says, at that point God laughs, right? So he gives two possibilities, right? So he says, right? He says, what's schok? Right? He says, what does it mean? He plays with him. He says, schok uhevech abechi. Right? Laughing, laughter is the opposite of crying. Ushnehem migvul ayosher v'chokma v'michodim skula v'shotim v'narim v'nashim v'rechei lev. He said, it's beyond, right? It's what not intelligent people or children, and I mean, he says nashim, but that's classic medieval, right? But they're involved in v'chok mitrona simcha. K'moshim erov kosev achosev v'dimayon ana'a yishtagea achoshek michishukav shkev avato gam yishbechei misimcha. He says, you cry or you laugh from joy or from sadness. So next paragraph. Vizmanahu shlo yetzei seichel apol shu ever Hashem yichol prati lama yitzhagim leviyatonu lil agbo hatov ra'oi l'shtok l'acharish. He said, what's going on at that point? Right, why doesn't God just be quiet? Right? So he says, oh no, sorry, he gives two positions. Right? So he says, "Who are Viot? Misachek and Leviathan, go back." Im simcha medume bilti shleima, kimenanu yavim ba'aretz yipchuta grua olecha vekala. He said, "Vaschok ha'u, hu evshar v'ra'ui kodem korban meina mikdash," etc. He said, at that point, God is playing, because there's not much you can do. Right? It's like towards the end, right? It's like destruction, it's, or whatever it is, right? So he's saying, this is a mashal, that God is with you at the beginning, where, you know, everything is miraculous, right? Creation, right? Very quickly, babies turn into adults, right? Everything seems miraculous. Then the next 3 hours are middle, right? The middle of your life, where the day in, day out, God is there, he's on. Then you start to get weaker, and you start to get sick, and you, right? You're in that age where God is still taking care of you day in, day out, but like, at this point, it's not muvan me'ilav, that you should be able to support yourself. And then at the end, right, God is just like, you know, yeah, like, you know, this is where, like, okay. But he said, there's a second day in the Gemara, which is that at that time, right, he doesn't, or at least after the Churban HaBayit, he isn't playing with Leviathan, he's Yoshev Umelami Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. Right, Shel Beis Rabban Torah. He's teaching kids, little kids Torah.
What's the interpretation of the Leviathan?
It's destruction, or it's the Yetzer Hara is over. Right? I mean, at that point, God can play. Right, I mean, the Yetzer Hara is over. He makes fun of. He can play with it. Like, it's not threatening anymore. Right, so either he's playing with your death. Right, meaning God's like, you know, meaning he said it's an over. What he says is, what's crying or playing? It's like an overabundance of emotion. Right, he's saying it's where you're thinking less and you're just giving in to emotion. He said towards the end, right, you can give in. Right, as people start to die. Right, you know, at the end of people's life, think about it. At the end of people's life, right, most people as they get right, they just want to spend some time with their grandkids. Right, they just want to right enjoy themselves. Right, they can't right live off their pension. Right, whatever. Right, so he says God is like, you know, life is coming towards an end. God plays with them, right? There's no threat anymore to the Yetzer Hara, right? It's like the end, right? That's how he's like, and God is still with you then, right? That's his point, right? God is with you in that point of life, right? So it's an extended mashallah. God is with you at each stage of life. But he said there's another day in the Gemara, right? That at the end of the day, God is teaching little children Torah. So he says, what does that mean? Because he said, think about it. There's two day out. What?
God's done with you.
He said, it's not that it's done. What is it two day out? It's because two things happening at the end of life. God is with the elderly generation who is past their prime. But what is he doing simultaneously?
He's starting again.
Right? He's starting again with the next generation. Right? Meaning, Dor Halech V'Dor Ba. Right? So he says, what does the Gemara say? The day starts off with the brilliance of Torah, miracles, God's obvious hashgach on the world. Then when you're in your late 20s, 30s, 40s, you're working, right? It makes sense. God is b'kisei ad-din, right? It makes sense. You work, you make money, God's with you, but there's, right? This is how the way the world works. Then you start getting towards retirement, God's still with you, but, you know, you need a little bit of chesed. And then, you know, towards death, you just, you know, God is just laughing with you, right? It's towards the end, right? Things are, whatever. But simultaneously, what is he doing? He's teaching Tinogo Sobeis Rabban Torah, right? Simultaneously, he's starting again, right? At the end of the next generation. So this is an extended mashal to the way God is involved in the world. Now he gives another possibility. He says also it could be, right, that you also aren't saved from the Nachash at that point, which I assume he means you're going to die. Right, that as big a tzaddik as you were, at the end of the day you'll die, right? And you're the last stage of life, you'll eventually, right, as the Gemara says, you know, right, because you just did this Gemara, right? The people who died only because of the biting of the Nachash, right? Because they never sinned. Right, it's actually the parallel thing, right? You just did, but that's not the point. Kilav, the people who didn't sin, the parallel in Shabbos and Hey, fine.
I didn't see that.
I'm sorry.
I do know about why Kilav is called Kilav.
Yes, I know.
Elo Daniel
Shemo. Okay.
Elo Daniel.
So then he says, okay, so then what does he say? So what does this mean that God only laughs at the end of days, but he also laughs every day? So he says, right, what he's talking about, b'chol yom, that's the hashgacha on each person. Right, that's like, right, that's really the focus of it. Okay, so look at number two. I gave you the English summary if you want to, right, keep, right, just to see how he went with this, right? So this is from the person who sort of put together the manuscripts of Moshe Ben Tibbon. So he wrote, this is the book I found the quote in, because he wrote an English book on the philosophy, and then he wrote the Hebrew book, so I just found the quote online. So he says, given the patent absurdity of this Haggadah, when understood literally, Moses interpreted it as a philosophic parable. In his view, it deals with the four stages of life, particularly of human beings. The first stage is the period of birth and growth of the entity, likened to the first hours of the day, which are warm and moist, as in the nature of spring, the season of renewal. God studying Torah alludes to the divine wisdom that produces birth and growth of all forms, composed of the four elements, until the entity is fully formed. The next stage, likened to the second 3 hours of the day, alludes to the period in which the entity functions at full physical capacity, in which the food it takes enables it to replace the bodily matter which is expended. Judgment represents the sustaining of that which exists in an orderly, fixed manner. The end of this period, however, most of the natural moisture that entity possesses at birth is dried up, leading to the entropy of the body, characteristic of the next period. Hence, in order to continue to sustain the entity, whether it be large or small, enable it to function with the power of all its faculties, despite the weakening of the body, God must now sit on the throne of mercy. For everything we see deteriorating, we say that it requires heavenly mercy. In the final stage, the body is weak and diminished together with all its powers, and like naught before God, is represented as sitting in heaven, the eternal existed, and ridiculing it. Leviathan alludes to the corruption of entities or the evil inclination, which also weakens in old age. God ridicules it and informs it that it toiled in vain in seeking out physical pleasures. Right? In a similar vein, Ben Tibbon interprets the subsequent Talmudic discussion regarding God and Leviathan and God's nocturnal activity. Right, so this is only the beginning. Right, the Gemara continues in this vein.
Would you ridicule it? I thought it's like a laughs with it at this point.
What?
I thought it's laughing with.
So it's it's gam v'gam, right? Like he's with the person who ridicules the Yetzer Hara. Right? At the end of time, right? He's saying God will just ridicule like the Yetzer Hara.
He can't laugh at it because he only does that once.
Right, at the end of time. Right, every day he like ridicules the Yetzer Hara, but he laughs with the person or something like that. And like, you have to like, right? You can play with the mashal, right? We can play with the details of the mashal here, but you see, right? A classic. But again, now if we just take a step back here, right? What do you see? Again, you have an extremely bizarre anthropomorphic Gemara, right? So what is any rationalist Maimonidean going to do? No, say, as you said, the weirder it is, the more likely it hides an idea. How are you going to deal with it? So what does he do? Right, he says, look, God doesn't do different things, and therefore it must be representing not what God does, but the way in which God relates to the world. So then you'll say, oh, maybe God's Hashkacha is different in the world at different times. But what's the problem with that? He's not, because it's Tamid. So therefore, what does that lead Ibn Tibbon to say? It must not really be talking about God. It must be talking about what man needs out of Hashkacha. And that's what leads him to his interpretive direction. Right now, even if you quibble on little things, it's actually a brilliant right step. It's right. It's radical and anthropomorphic, so it must not be literal. The content is clearly Hashkacha. Right? But if you assume that God is never changing, so describing Hashkacha in different ways must not be describing God. But if it's not describing God, it must be describing the way we
relate
to God. But we don't relate, but God doesn't change, so it must be, wait, why would we relate to God at different times differently? Oh, because we change. So God's Hashkacha is constant and built into the world, but because we go through different phases, So we experience the nature of God's hashgacha in different ways.
How would you interpret
life? And then he says, why does he use the mashal of the day? Use the mashal of the day to emphasize that it's constant.
Right?
It's actually a very clever, right? Meaning you see, there's actually a very systematic right way where he starts with first assumptions and then he says, okay, I have to figure out the secret here. But the secret, he just goes in stages, right? He starts with it's absurd, so it's not literal. It's not literal, so it must be, right? But what is it a mashal for? Well, he said, well, all of the, what is everything in the mashal common to? It's talking about how God relates to the world. Must be about Ashkacha. Oh, but God doesn't change. All right? Right? Meaning there's a logic to it, right? He's unraveling the secret.
Right.
By finding the absurdity in each layer,
uh-huh.
Right? As he, right, because that's his rule, right? These, what's his systematic rule? You learn from it is that the way to get to the heart of any agadata is to unpack it, and each time you find an absurdity, know that that's your jump-off point to reinterpret it, right? And use that as your guide of what it is that must be the key to the mashal, the part that can't possibly be literal.
How do you interpret Tehillim? Certain Tehillim, like for example, like Chunaranana.
No, that's what he says. He said this isn't unique to Chazal, right? Nevi'im do the same thing.
How do you interpret those though? Like
that one, they're each their own.
With his own right hand.
What do you mean? God took us out of
Israel. Right,
that also happened.
Why not his left hand?
Okay.
Interesting question.
Okay, I'm going. What, how much time do we have? How much time do we have? Oh, we have 5 minutes. Okay, so I'm not going to have time to do Maharal because I figured there would actually be, you know, interesting here to do two radically different commentaries, right? Because this is Rav Moshe Ibn Tibbon, who's a very strong proponent of the Maimonidean rationalist school, right? Like, we don't have the Rambam's Perush on Agadata, so it's helpful. See, what would it look? And the Maharal's a Kabbalist, right? I didn't say irrational. He said he's a Kabbalist. There, he's coming from a very different tradition. Right, so what we'll do next time is we'll see how does he interpret this, right? Because he also agrees it's not literal, right? I mean, just because you're a Kabbalist doesn't mean, oh, right? I mean, Kabbalists also believe that agadatas are not literal. The question isn't, is it literal or not? The question is what type of content you derive from it, okay? Because I have a few minutes, I'll just throw this out now so I don't have to get to it later, right? Is the Rav in a, what I assume is a drasha on a drasha, right? I don't think he meant this as pshat, but the Rav in his eulogy for Mendel Zaks said pithily, right? He said, one of our main chiyuvim in life is v'halachta b'drachav, right? Matat yodei, imitating God. So he said, oh, right? What?
It's like the main thing.
What?
You said, what are our main
things? One of our main things. It is, right? Imitating God, right? In all its manifestations, in our midot, in our actions, right? Meaning, it comes up a lot, right? Meaning, it's one of those all-encompassing things. But he says, once the Gemara tells you that one of the things that God does is play with the Leviathan, from here it's a raya that having a sense of humor is a kiyum of Alach Vidrachav, which, to be fair, is an excellent, excellent way of giving a eulogy about someone who he thought had a mila of having a sense of humor. I don't know what the Rav meant literally, but, you know, as I've said before, homiletics are not a bad thing, right? Someone told me when I was in Toronto that I have to read. Roy Lamb has an article, apparently, which is called The Confessions of an Unrepentant Darshan. Right? Not everything you have to say is pshat. I don't know if the Rav thought it was pshat, that God has a sense of humor, right? But his point was, if the Gemara can value it, right? And the Gemara sees it valuable enough, the Gemara can even talk about God laughing, right? God playing. So it got in your head, that's also godly. It's a great thing to say. It's a nice vort. I don't know if it's true, but it's definitely a nice drasha. I don't know if he meant it as pshat. Okay, so next time we'll do the Maharal and try to get a second pshat in this. But I thought it was interesting, and no one knows about this book, right? Like, you know, I was lucky that I found the reference to it. Okay, good.